Turn with me in the chapter that we have read, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and you will find the text for meditation at verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. And the words at the end of the verse are the words that I hope, and with God's help, to expound together this morning. Be ye reconciled to God. And in this chapter, the Apostle Paul gives us 7 reasons for us to be reconciled to God. We can say that here the Holy Spirit, through the pen of the apostles, is trying to persuade us to become Christians. And he is arguing with us and gives us reasons why we should be reconciled with God. Why it is time for us now to be at peace with God, to close with his calling, and to become his people. And I would like to, very briefly this morning, to see these 7 reasons. And I pray that as we consider this reason, that God himself will contend with your souls and will persuade you to come to Christ. And you might think, why this again? Why these reasons again? We know why we should become Christians. But let me give you one reason by the way of introduction. And this reason has been given by one of the lecturers in Grand Rapids in my first week. And he said, no, the ministry is a very strange word, he said. We have to preach the same thing every Sunday. That is our job. We don't have to produce new materials. We don't have to invent some new truth. We have to preach the same message Sunday after Sunday. And so the things you're going to hear today are not new things. These are the old, unchangeable gospel. Because this is, brethren, what we need to hear. Here is my first reason for us to come to Christ and to be reconciled with God. God's promises. You say, minister, why are you insisting with me? Why are you constantly preaching to me that I must become a Christian? You're always telling me to come to Christ, to be reconciled with him, and to be at peace with God. Why? Here is the first reason. Because if you become a Christian, you have wonderful promises for you. Wonderful promises from the ever-faithful God. He promises here in the first verse part of the chapter, from verse 1 to verse 5, he promises that those that come to him, that those who are reconciled with him, he will give to them a new body. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, our body that we have in this life, he says, we know this, our earthly bodies will be dissolved, will be consumed, but we have something new. We who are Christians, we who are the Lord's people, we who are reconciled with God, we have a promise of a new body. A new incorruptible body, an eternal body, a body that will never be ruined. And so here is one promise that we have here. A new spiritual, incorruptible, and glorified body. This is a promise that God makes to all those that come to Christ. Some of you are getting old. Some of you see time passing very quickly. You know that very soon you will be dead. If you are a Christian, here is the promise from the Lord. A new body, made from God, made fit for heaven, for the glory of heaven. A body that will never suffer diseases, a body that will never need a doctor, a body that will never die. A body made to enjoy a perfect fellowship with God. A body that never gets tired. A body who is never sleepy. A body who never needs night to sleep. A perfect body. In the likeness of Christ, we are promised that we will be like Him. Here is why you should come to Christ, sinners. The body you are living in so far, you might be strong just now, but very soon we get old. We sang earlier on, the strongest of us, they get 80 years old, but yet they die. And their life is full of labor and suffering. But for the Christians, there is a promise of a new body. And if you come to Christ, this promise will be your promise. And if you are reconciled with God, if you become a Christian, you will have, like us, this wonderful promise of a new incorruptible body. But there's another promise, a new place in the heavens. That's the promise that God makes to all those who are His people. And to all those that come to Him, He promised to Him, you will dwell, you will live in a place which is wonderful. A place of eternal blessedness, a place of eternal joy, a house that God Himself is building for His people. A place called Zion, New Jerusalem, the city of our God. A place where the streets are made of gold, a place where there is absolute and perfect joy. A place without the sun. There is no need of the sun there. There is no need for churches in that place. It's a place where Jesus Christ dwells in. And all the Christians will be there at last. A place with many mansions. And here is our reason for you. God is promising. When He calls sinners to come to Him, He's promising to them, if you come to Me, I will bless you with eternal life, with a new body and a new place, new heaven, a new earth, a new creation for new creatures. Is this not a reason for you to come to Christ? The other option is hell. The other option is eternal destruction. The other option is torment and sufferings. And you have a choice before you this morning. The torment of hell or the blessed life in heaven. What will you take? God says to you this morning, take Christ to be your Lord and Savior and you will be in heaven at last. That's why you should become a Christian. Not tomorrow, but today. A new body, a new place, a new fellowship. We will be with Christ. Now we are walking by faith, says in verse 7, but then we will walk by sight. Let me share you something that I heard when I was there. She's not a Presbyterian lady, but she is a wonderful Christian that I met there in the U.S. Her son died 16 weeks ago. I don't know the word of the disease, but he suffered unspeakable pains before he died. Unspeakable. He was a Christian man, and he wanted to die. He didn't know why the Lord was keeping him so long. And in all his sufferings, that was very interesting, the only moments when he was well was when Lord's people came to see him. Every time a minister or a Christian friend would come to him, suddenly all the sickness went away and he was able to pray and to have a word with his people. But then suddenly, in all his pains, he said to his mom, "Oh, it's wonderful. It is wonderful." And then he was poor again. And before he died, just few moments before he died, he said to his mom, "It's time for me to go." And what he did, he opened his arm as someone was hugging him. And then he died. What was happening to him? What was happening to that Christian man in the last moment of his life? God was accomplishing his promise. He was taking him home. That's the name he called of heaven. That was the way he spoke of heaven. "When is the Lord coming to take me home?" He wanted to go and to be with the Savior. He wanted to be with Christ. He had this promise as a Christian that he would be with Christ forever. Here is a reason for you. Death is coming for all of us. We could be dead tonight. If you are a Christian, when death comes, Christ will take you home. If you are not a Christian, Christ will come to you as your judge and destroyer. It's a choice again, my friend. And I'm arguing with you, and I hope that God himself is speaking to you this morning. Here is a reason for you to come to Christ. God's promises. Think, God is promising you many wonderful things if you come to him. What is the devil promising you? A second reason for you to become a Christian is God's judgment. This is what he says in verse 10. "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." We all must appear. And we can appear before that judgment in two ways. We can appear before Christ as being reconciled with him and through him with God. We can appear before the judgment seat as those who are righteous and forgiven and saved. Or we can appear before him as those who are his enemies, those who hate him, at war with him, full of sin, wrath-deserving sinners. And the Apostle Paul is telling us, be reconciled with God because you must appear before him one day. And make sure that when that moment comes, you are at peace with him. That you are not one of his enemies, but one of his friends. But one of his friends. It's a very straightforward reason. We must appear before God. We must stand before him. When the moment comes for you, my friend, how will you stand before Christ? Will you stand there as a man, as a woman, as a child, forgiven? Will you stand before Christ as one who has been redeemed and cleansed? Or will you stand there as a hell-deserving sinner? Christ, notice, is sitting on a judgment seat. That will not be a time for mercy. That will not be a time to blind his eyes. That will be a time for judgment. And Christ will act then as a righteous judge. And if you appear before Christ as a sinner, Christ will deal with you as a sinner. Christ will treat you as a righteous God must. He will examine your life. He will consider your actions, your words, your thoughts. He will be weighted, found guilty, and sent to hell. But if you are a Christian, your actions will be examined. Your thoughts will be examined. Your words will be examined. And you will be found forgiven. You will be found righteous, covered with the righteousness of Christ. And so here is a second reason for you. The judgment day is coming. Be ready. And the only way for you to be ready is for you to reconcile yourself with God, to be at peace with God, to be one with Him, to be on His side, to be among His people, to be a Christian. Be ye reconciled to God, says the Apostle Paul. Because He has made wonderful promises, because of His judgment, but thirdly, because of God's terror. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. The Apostle Paul is saying here, we persuade men. We have left our homes. We've been all around the world as we know. We've been preaching the gospel to Jews and Gentiles, to Greek and barbarians, for one main reason. We know the terror of the Lord. We know the God who created heaven and earth. We know the God that we must stand before one day. He is a dreadful God. He is a consuming God. He is a fearful God. A God that when we see Him, we fall upon our faces as dead. Is the God who has the power and right to kill our bodies and our souls. He's the God who created the hells to punish His enemies. And we know the terror of the Lord. And then we go all over the world to say to people, be ye reconciled with God, now that He's a merciful God. Seek for the Lord now that He's willing to be found. Don't be a fool and don't be thinking that you can stand before this God full of sin as an enemy. Because if God meets you in your sin, He will be a terrible God. And you will cry the mountains to cover you, to hide you. It's time for you to be reconciled with God. It's time for you to be a Christian. God is a fearful God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now He's a merciful, gracious God. Now He's calling you to be at peace with Him. And the picture here is the picture of two armies fighting one against the other. On one side is the Lord's army. On the other hand is the devil's army. And God is here, the fearful commanders and captains of His army, and He is sending His ambassador saying, go and warn my enemies. Tell them, those on the other side, go and tell them that now if they come to me, I will show to them mercy and peace. I will be kind to them. I will forgive them for all their sins. And I will be their God and they will be my people. But warn them, if they don't come to me now, if they still keep fighting against me, I will come and destroy them. And I will show them no mercy. It's God arguing with His enemies. It's God arguing with you this morning, giving you reasons for you to become a Christian. And He's honest with you. He's telling you that He is a dreadful God for those who are His enemies. But for us who are His people, He is our God, He is our Father, He is our Redeemer, He is our Provider, He is our God. And the invitation is for you, my friend. Come to Him through Christ. Come to God. Humble yourselves before Him. Be at peace with God. It's not a grandfather that blinds his eyes all the time. It's not like Mary towards my children, seeing them always good and always kind. God is a fearful God. It's not like Santa Claus or Father Christmas, as they call him. Always kind and always generous. God is a terrible God. And if you challenge him and you stand before him as a sinner, you will experience that. God is warning you, my friend, this very hour, be ye reconciled with God. Fourthly, a fourth reason for you to become a Christian, for you to be reconciled with God, is God's love. Verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Here is a second reason that Paul is giving why he's preaching the gospel. Constrained by the love of Christ. He knows that God is a terrible God, and he knows that God is warning sinners to repent, but he also knows, by experience, that God is willing to save his enemies. It doesn't matter how bad they were. He was the chief of sinners. He was persecuting the church. He was a blasphemer, a Christ rejecter. And now he is saved. He knows the love of Christ. And that love is constraining him to call sinners to come to this Christ and be saved. And he uses this as an argument to persuade the people in Corinth to come and be reconciled with him. An invitation is for you. You say, minister, why should I become a Christian? Because God is a loving God. Because God is a merciful God. Because if you come to him as now, as he's calling you, if you come to God through Christ, if you humble yourself before him, if you plead for mercy now, God, who is a merciful God, will show mercy to you. If you beat on your breast and you say, Lord, be merciful to me, God will show mercy to you. Here is a reason for you. Come to a God who is a loving God. Think in this way. There are two masters. One is God. Gracious, patient, long-suffering, slow to wrath, in mercy plenteous. One who rewards his people 100-fold. The other master is the devil. The only thing he can offer to you is sin, misery, and hell. Which one do you want to serve? Which one do you want to serve? Which one is your master? God is saying to you, if you come to me, I will deliver you from the bondage that you are in. I will redeem you. I will save you. I will give you a new life. Here's a reason for you to become a Christian. To be free from the devil's hand, the devil's bondage, and to be serving a wonderful, gracious, merciful God. I've been serving him many years now. Not just as a minister. I've been one of his people by his wonderful mercy. And there's one thing I can tell about my God. He is love. He has treated me in a wonderful way. I am amazed, brethren. I am absolutely amazed that I'm not in hell. Because I'm a terrible person. I'm a sinner. And I've disappointed him. I have grieved him all my life. You know what I got? Mercy, mercy, mercy. All my life, God has rewarded me undeservedly. And this is the God that is calling you this morning. Fifthly, a fifth reason for you to be reconciled with this God, to be a Christian, is God's command. When he says, be ye reconciled to God, again, This is not new to you. It's an imperative. It is an imperative. It is God speaking here as a ruler, as a king, as one who has all authority. And he's saying, he's sending his ambassadors, not friends, his ambassadors, and he's telling them, proclaim to them my will. Proclaim to them what I want from them. Go and tell my enemies, this is the command of the king. And the command from God is that you are at peace with him. The command from the Lord that you throw away all your weapons and all your resistance and that you bow down before him and ask him to be your God, to be your Savior, to be your Lord. God is commanding you this morning again to be a Christian. It's a command. It's an order from the highest authority. And you must say, oh, but I know from the Bible that I am saved when God comes and saves me. So my duty is to wait and to see what happens. No. The command of the Lord is that you are reconciled with him. The command from God is that you are a Christian now. Not that you wait, but that you believe, that you repent, that you are at peace with him. To be a Christian is not an option. It's not just an offering, though it is. It's a duty. It's the duty of every person in this congregation. Listen to me. It's your duty before God to become a Christian. And it's the duty of every person indoors, San Tomasen and Inverness. Every single person in this world has the duty to bow down their knees before King Jesus and proclaim him to be Lord and God. So God is commanding you. Will you disobey God? Will you reject his command? It's a very dangerous thing. And if you link this to who God is, the terrible God, the fearful God, the one who sits on the judgment throne, having the right to judge all men, you can see how important it is and how urgent it is for you to be reconciled with God. It is the most important thing in your life. It's your first priority to be reconciled with him. Sixthly, a sixth reason for you to be reconciled with God is God's pleasure. Not just what God commands, it is what God wants. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Listen to this. As though God did beseech you. God is beseeching you, my friend. God is begging you. God is pleading with you. He wants you to be a Christian. He has no pleasure that you are one of his enemies. He has no pleasure to destroy you. But he wants you to turn. He wants you to come to him because he wants to show mercy to you. This is what he delights in. He delights in mercy. And it is his pleasure. It is his delight for you to come to him. God has pleasure when sinners are reconciled with him. It doesn't matter how bad you were. It doesn't matter how bad you are. If you come to Christ, God is willing. God is willing to be reconciled with you. The main thing is not that you want to be at peace with God. This should be quite natural. If you think of heaven and hell, everyone wants to be at peace with God. And in a sense, all religion is trying to be reconciled with God. Your coming to church is an attempt to be reconciled with God. You hope that this will save you somehow. But the most amazing thing is that God is willing to be reconciled with us, with his enemies. This is the most amazing thing, that God is willing to take drunken, adulterers, people that have done terrible things, and is willing to show mercy to them and forgive their sins. God is beseeching you. Notice, when God sent his ambassadors, he says to them, yes, warn them, tell them that I am a terrible God, but don't stop here. Beseech them in my name that I want them to be on my side. And here is where many preachers fail, in Reformed churches, in conservative churches like us. Ministers are wrong in their emphasis when they preach. They throw upon their people the wrath and anger of God, and they stop there. They warn their people that they're going to hell, but they never beseech these people to turn to Jesus. And all my failures as a minister, and I have many failures, and I repent every day before God for my failures as a minister. One thing I can say before God, I have besought with you, and I have pled with you to come to Christ. Jesus wants you to be reconciled with him. Jesus wants you on his side. Jesus wants to show you mercy and grace. Here is why you must become a Christian. Here is why you must be reconciled with God. Because he wants it. It delighted him when sinners repent. It gives more joy to God for one sinner to repent than for 99 who needs no repentance. Lastly, the seventh reason for you to become a Christian, it is God's work. It's God's work. Verse 21, he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The work of Christ is the most powerful reason for you to become a Christian. Jesus has reconciled God with the world. God is not saying, try to please me. God is not saying, try to be a religious person. God is not saying, try to do good works and maybe I will be reconciled with you. No. God is saying, my son has done everything for you to be reconciled with me. My son has removed the wrath and the anger and the sin who were separating me with you. All has been done. There is nothing you have to do. I am now in Christ a reconciled God. All those that come to God through Christ, they come before God who is a Father and a gracious God. Why becoming a Christian? Because Christ has done everything for sinners. It is possible for us to please God in Christ. Not in our righteousness, but in his righteousness. Not in our obedience, but in his obedience. In his person. Christ has accomplished his work. Christ was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God. That means that if you come to Christ, if you come to him, this is what happens. Your sins are removed from you. That condemning burden is taken from you. That guilt, that condemnation that you deserve is taken away, is given to Christ, and you are covered with the righteousness of Jesus. Your dirty and filthy rags are taken off, and you receive a new, spotless, clean, white garment, which is the righteousness of Jesus. Here is the reason for you to become a Christian. If you come to Christ, you will be declared righteous before God. You will be declared innocent. And you will be spared from the judgment to come. be ye reconciled to God. Will you? Will you be reconciled to God now that He is willing to be reconciled with you? Will you come to Christ? Will you put your trust in Him? Because this is the only way for sinners, such as you are, to be at peace with God.